They staying for preaching, ain't they? All right, I need somebody to stay. Praise the Lord. I thought this was going to take them all out of here. You know, didn't know for a while. Good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, a lot of thoughts about Easter, you know, and I know more about it now than I used to. When I was a child growing up, you know, I had Easter egg hunts at school, Easter egg hunts at church. You know, that was a big thing. And I guess that still happens. I just don't have any young kids, you know, to know about. But I this morning had strangest thoughts. You know, I was thinking about all those Easter egg hunts I went to at school. You know, this starts at first grade and goes up through fifth or sixth. I don't know, until you have to shave. Then you have to quit hunting eggs, you know. But I got thinking about that. I never found a prize egg. Never did. And there's times in life that I got to thinking about, you know, I'd work real hard and try to find a prize egg. I think sometimes they didn't even put one out there. Could happen. I mean, you know, they're just teachers. They're not saints. I mean, they're just teachers. But anyway, you know, I got thinking about, and then I can remember times that somebody won the prize egg and how excited they'd be, you know, and I just kind of watch them, and you know how that is. It didn't, I didn't win it, so it didn't matter to me. And she's looking for Beth. That's okay. That's okay. If y'all don't understand this, let me tell you exactly how this is. This young lady is in the process of being adopted. This is her second week to church. This is her second week to church, and she don't hardly know how to act yet, but thank God we'll teach her. I'm telling you what, she's here now with a godly family, and so she'll be coming to church. I just wanted to explain that to you if you're thinking, what's that little girl running back for? That little girl's got rights and privileges here. I don't care if she's standing in the pulpit with me. I love her. Now, if you don't know where the pastor stands on children, now you can get a better understanding, can't you? They're not a problem. They're a blessing. And that's the attitude we need to have. And she's in the process. She'll know exactly what's going on. Hopefully, she'll be here long enough. We'll see her saved, and I might get baptized. No telling. But this prize egg thing, you know, that was on my mind. And I'm thinking, Lord, what's this prize egg about? And he began showing me that through later years, I found the real prize. I found Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, that's the prize. And you talk about a prize egg. No, I got the prize, the one that never goes away. And I thought about that prize and about hunting for the prize. And I'd hunt that prize egg, and I never found it. But when I hunted Jesus Christ, I found him. I'm telling you today, if you'll seek after him with your whole heart, you'll find Christ today. And that'd be the most important thing you could do on Easter. We're out here celebrating resurrection. Praise the Lord. I get kind of fired up on this day. This is our day as Christians. You know, Christmas, we rejoice and do a lot of celebrating on Christmas. But I'm telling you, Christmas could come or go, and we'll still have eternal life. But without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it wouldn't be happening. And so let's look a few verses of Scripture today. Good to see everybody come this way. Pray for those that we've got that are visiting. You know, we usually have pretty much a washout on Easter. We have this group goes there and that group goes here. But then we have another group that comes here. So it's kind of a washout. We've got about a normal crowd here today. So praise God. We'll just worship the Lord. I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's see just about the importance of the resurrection. You know, a lot of people, we was over at the cemetery this morning, sunrise service, and I was looking around. And a lot of people over there, they're decorating their graves and they're doing this. And it was trimmed down, mowed down real nice. They take good care of it. And I thought how special it looked. And then I got thinking after the resurrection, I'm not sure how it'll look. I don't know if God will bring them through the dirt or move the dirt. But it's going to happen. It'll never be the same again because the saints will get up. And so we start talking about resurrection. It's real to me. I believe, you know, that those saints of God are going to come up and they're going to be resurrected at the call and the sound of the trumpet. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a few verses there, and starting in verse 12. And this is talking about Christ and this is talking about the resurrection. You know, there were some people back in that day having a hard time believing that he rose again. I don't have a hard time with that. I read it in God's Word, so I believe it. You know, that's the way I am. I read it in God's Word. You can believe God's Word above all other things, so I believe it. But some people were having a problem with the resurrection. They say, well, you know, this didn't happen. But I'm going to tell you the resurrection was real. It did happen. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ, is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Now, when you start talking about importance in life, you know, a lot of things just don't really matter anymore, or don't matter as much as they used to. But this is something that has very much importance and will always matter to Christians, because it's very plain. It said, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. In other words, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, everybody here is wasting their time. If Christ didn't rise, you've wasted your time. I've wasted my time. The preaching would be to no effect and to no avail. Your attention would be no effect, to no avail. But that's why I'm so glad to tell you that, yes, Christ is risen. And because of that, it's not in vain. And so we'll continue with this. In verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So he's not only talking about the resurrection of Christ Jesus, but he's talking about the promise of resurrection for all of us saved in the, through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a resurrection. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. And so we start understanding about the forgiveness. I'm very thankful for the forgiveness God planned for me. I'm telling you, I needed forgiveness. I was a sinner. I was in the wrong direction. And Christ brought me around one day, and God brought me around and showed me Jesus Christ. And by that, he also forgave me my sins when I confessed them and asked him to. And so when we start talking about everything we have as Christians is based on Jesus' resurrection. Without that, you're still in your sins. Your faith is vain. You have no hope. That's about the time. If I was sitting back there, I'd have probably jumped up. Of course, I may be a little more excited than some of y'all, you know, about what God's done in my life. Because I'm telling you, he worked a miracle. He took a sinner, out of the way and saved him by the grace of God. And then not only that, but loved him enough to give him an opportunity to come and pastor a church like this. Now you talk about finding a prize egg. You know, they're still out there to be found. God's still putting these treasures out before. But when we talk about what's important in Christianity, the most important thing we have is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he didn't get up, we've got problems. But I'm glad to tell you, empty tombs, what they found on Easter morning. He did rise. We'll cover some of that in a minute. Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sin, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know, we met all over at the cemetery this morning, and I could go through this crowd. I could just walk through and tell you, yeah, you've got a loved one planted. You've got a loved one planted. You've got a loved one planted. You know, so many times we visited that time that we were planting loved ones. Now, I'm talking about planting. You don't bury Christians. You just plant them because they're coming up. Amen. And there's a difference in burial and planting. You plant Christians because they're coming up. Just like you plant a seed in hopes of something new. And when I thought about that this morning over at the cemetery, how many hopes we had. And it talks about that if Christ is not arisen, then those falling asleep in Christ are perished. I'm glad to say they're not. Those saints of God that we have planted from this church and this community, even in the time that I've been here, they're coming again. They've got hope. I've got hope for that resurrection. In verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, you know, with the hope of the resurrection, and the power of God to bring us from this life to eternal life, you know, that's a miracle of God in itself. And I get thinking about, it gives comparison. You know, a lot of us have pretty good lives. You know, I don't know, I'm looking through the crowd. I don't know anybody here that didn't have food on their table last night. May not have been exactly what you wanted. I don't see anybody here that probably didn't have a roof over their house last night, nowhere to sleep. And you know, we have pretty good lives, if we'd admit it, but compared to what God has prepared for us in eternal life because of the resurrection of Christ Jesus, it's just unreal. You just can't compare it. No way. There's no way. We're celebrating resurrection. Hope you'll celebrate with me. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go a little farther with this. We're going to get the resurrection just in a little bit. But I want to tell you, God has given us a great opportunity today, not only to preach about the resurrection, but for somebody to be resurrected, to be brought out of their sins. You know, that resurrection is real in the future, and that resurrection is real today, that you can be brought from dead in your sins to life evermore through the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, I want you to stop and think about, you know, this statement being made in 1 Corinthians, this more than likely Paul making this, and he said, I came to you not in excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God. Said he determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ crucified. Now, I can understand and know where he was coming from, because he wasn't wanting them to understand or know because he was speaking, but he is wanting it revealed to them by God. And God is still in that business today, revealing to us through the Holy Spirit that dwells here in this church, that dwells there, and dwells in our hearts also. He said, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. I'd rather have the Spirit and the power of God than the greatest words that could ever be spoken. Without Spirit, without power, I don't think they're much. You know, they just don't amount to much. It's like a tinkling cymbal. You can hear the sound but don't recognize the speech of it. And so when we start talking about believing Jesus Christ, and when we start talking about how you're convinced that He's resurrected, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary, for sins of the world, resurrected, praise the Lord. Ladies went down to the tomb, guess what they found? Didn't find nothing, because He wasn't there. It said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now we come back to that power of God. That has to be revealed to you by God's power and God's strength. I'd heard several times during my life, going to a Sunday school class now and then, or maybe up to a Bible school, and I'd heard about Jesus, but I didn't know Him till God revealed Him by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to me, and then I began to know Him. Until that time, it was just the wisdom of men. I'm not out here trying to convince anybody, but I tell you what I am doing. I'm praying that the Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, will deal with your heart and you'll realize who Jesus is and that He died for your sin and that He's resurrected at the right hand of the Father. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And so we understand that it comes by God. It comes through that Holy Spirit and revelation through that we can know and understand Jesus Christ. Somebody asked me the other day, do you believe Jesus was crucified? I sure do. I believe it with all my heart, because I've got faith in what God said. I believe His word. They said, do you believe He's resurrected? I said, I sure do. He said, you didn't see any of these things. I said, by the eye of faith, you can see them. If you'll believe it, you can see it. I believe you can have that visual effect of it, that you can understand Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, going through the trial and tribulation He went through, gave His life for the sins of the world, and then died on the cross of Calvary, and then was resurrected from the dead. It was a sad day for Christians for a day or two, but when he got up, I thought, praise the Lord. Glory be to God, you know, praise God. You know, they thought they had it pretty much under control. They didn't have nothing under control. Matthew chapter 28. Talk just a little bit about the resurrection. Now, this resurrection we're speaking of, that is still to come. Now, we're going to talk about the resurrection of Christ. But there's a resurrection still to come. When the Lord returns and calls us, we will be resurrected. But I want you to know there could be a resurrection today, a spiritual resurrection, that somebody dead in sins, lost to the things in this world, could find new life, new understanding, and eternal life to last for an eternity. And so think about what position you are with God today. If God required your life today, how would you answer? You think about it. How would you answer God? You know, that's a big thing to understand. My answer would be, Lord, here I am. Come and get me. Done the best I could. I've believed on your son. That'd be the answer he's hunting. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and there came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I want you to think about the miracle of God in rolling this stone back. You know, they wanted to know, they came down and they were really preparing to anoint the body of Christ. That's why they were coming early. They had the spices, they had the ointments, they had the wrap. And they said, let's go anoint his body and wrap it as in due to burial. But when they got down there, God rolled his stone away. He said a great earthquake. Now I want you to think about the power of God to shake the world. It could shake your family. It could shake your life. It can shake anything. But this stone was rolled back that these Marys, these two ladies coming down to the tomb, could see in to see that Jesus was gone. We serve an amazing God that reveals a lot of things to us, and sometimes we never even account for it. We don't understand. Have y'all saw a miracle in life? I saw one last night. Praise the Lord. Miracle. You know, taking a lady, one of our faithful members here, stroke, blood clot stuck in the back of her head, second blood clot, no hope of any kind of quality of life. They gave the family a choice and said, we can't do this medication, we can't do this. If we leave it alone, she'll never have any quality of life. Or we can try to go up through her like an arteriogram and go up in the back of her brain and pull a blood clot out. Said it'll most likely kill her on the table. We, on the way to town, we started praying, and we started calling some of y'all that prayed. Well, let me tell you how that come out. She's alive. Praise the Lord. They pulled the blood clot out. I talked to her last night. She told me, started telling me about the Top Shelf. Bless her heart. Y'all don't know Top Shelf, I don't guess. One in Luther Heartline over at their house, they've got a little corner cabinet. Got a little corner cabinet, sits kind of like this in the corner. And they've got all their pastors' pictures on that little shelves. And I used to get on to Bot Wanda. I said, if I ever come over here and I'm not Top Shelf, I said, I'm going to be upset. I said, if I ain't number one, I ain't going to be nothing. You know how I am. If you're going to do it right. Be the best you can. And I said, I always want to see that picture on Top Shelf. She just had four pastors in about 60-something years. You know, and so every time I'd go down there, my picture would be on the top, and we'd talk about it. Well, last night, she started telling me, she said, well, she said, you're always on the top, but I've got a long driveway. When I see which pastor it is starts down, I move the picture. She said, they're all Top Shelf, praise the Lord. Now, she just had a major stroke, but I mean, she still had an attitude. She said, they're all Top Shelf by the time. Her driveway's about a half mile long. She said, I can see them coming. So, kind of busted my bubble, you know, it lets you know at least where you stand. I said, well, Wanda, I said, I'm going to tell you how that goes. I said, I may not be Top Shelf, but I'm the one standing here right now. Amen. And she couldn't deny that. But you think about the miracle that God does in our lives. Now, that's just one miracle. She survived that. They didn't think she could live through it. But God's in control of that. Doctors do the best they can, praise the Lord, but they don't give or take life. God's in charge. So when I saw this stone roll back from the door and this angel sitting on it, I thought a miracle of God. You know, an absolute miracle for these ladies to be able to see into the tomb and see that it's empty. Oh, don't God love us? You just think how much God loves us and the things He does for us every day. Every day. These new children bringing into church, being introduced, that's a miracle of God. We're not done yet. I won't make Priscilla stand up, but we're not quite through yet. But anyway, verse 3 starts giving a description of this angel. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now, I want you to notice the difference. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. So here's God's love demonstrated again. If we talk about the keepers, of the grave, the keepers at the tomb, it said they did shake and became as dead men. Scared them so bad they passed out because they're not God's people. But I'm going to tell you, these two ladies coming down the tomb were believers in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were daughters of God, and God told them, fear not. And so you start comparing and seeing a difference made in this situation right here. And God, I believe, still making that distinction between us. There's blessings in life for Christians. There's times that you don't have to go through the fear because God says, fear not. These keepers at the tomb, you notice them. That's what it said. And for fear of him, the keepers, they were keeping the tomb. They weren't believers. They were just there hired to watch and to let nobody break in the tomb. But the fear came on them that they passed out. Became as dead men. I believe they passed out from fear. The two ladies are still there. God said, don't fear. Y'all don't have to fear. I know you seek Jesus. I know you seek Jesus. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And so the stones roll back, they look into the tomb, there's nobody there. It's an empty tomb, praise God. Empty tomb, praise the Lord. Everybody that's with the hope of resurrection could get excited about that, knowing that Christ overcame death, hell, and he resurrected. And the same promise goes to us. The angel gave a demand of him, actually. He said, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. Lo, I've told you. Straight from the mouth of an angel of God, they were told that he's resurrected and said, go quickly and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead. He wanted everybody to know. They wanted to make it worldwide known that Jesus overcame. He resurrected. He's alive and well today at the right hand of the Father. He's still there interceding for us. He's still giving us the opportunity of resurrection and spiritual resurrection today. You've got that choice and that opportunity. Down into verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. But think about the joy these ladies run down the hill with. I mean, they were filled up. I think I could have run with them if my hip was not so bad. But, you know, I saw the day in my life that they run down that hill in joy. I could have been right along with them pretty close anyway. But you think about the joy that they had because they knew he had resurrected. Because of them, they knew the promise of God that if he resurrected, they had the promise of it. And through that, they went with joy. I want us to have a joyful Easter. You know, I hope everybody today can have the joy and the happiness that God gives us as his children, as Christians, that we can rejoice in today knowing that Christ is risen from the dead. And by that, we have that promise also. I tell people here sometime that you may not like me now, but you might ought to get used to me because I'm never going away. I might leave here before you do. I don't know about that, but let me make this plain. You get to heaven, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there, so get used to it. You know, we might as well get to liking each other right now. That's the way it goes. You get there, if I get there for you, you'll get there, and guess who'll be there? Oh, by the way. Or if we all go to resurrection. You know, now that's a possibility. The older I get, and that's the way I see the world going, I'm not going to set the date. I can't. But I'm going to tell you the day's set. When the Lord Jesus is going to come back, the trumpet's going to sound, a shout from heaven, and the dead in Christ is going up. Praise the Lord. We're going to leave here. We're going. I look forward to that. I look forward to it. We can shout on the way up. Amen. Everybody stand. We're going to be dismissed. You got a song, Chris? All right. Anybody wants to pray? Anything on your heart, mind, you come on up. John, go back and check my phone on that message, see if I got a message yet. We're waiting on a message about Wanda. I'd like to inform the church what she got in her purse. See if we've heard anything yet. They were going to let us know as soon as they knew something. She was going to send a text. Don't have anything yet, so we know nothing. Just keep praying for Wanda and Luther. pray for Mary and pray for Tiffany. Got a lot of things going on in the church, but it's nothing too great for God to handle. Amen. Nothing too great for God to handle. Saw a miracle in it last night. I'm praying for more miracles. All right, anybody need to pray or anything before we go?